I don't travel nearly enough. That's a conclusion I've come to after having visited Vancouver, Canada this week. So shout out to all the Canucks there. What a great city. It ranks up there amongst some of the most beautiful cities I've ever been in. Really liked it in terms of the people and the geography. Kind of reminded me a little bit of San Francisco, although I'm told it actually looks a lot like Portland too. But I mean, as a Pacific rimmed city goes, it had the sort of Asian feel to it, but at the same time, it was distinctly Canadian. And I say that because as an American, I don't get to Canada enough. As somebody from the United States, I take for granted Canada, and I shouldn't. We shouldn't. We should all be visiting Canada more often here in the continental United States because it's got a lot to offer. It was really neat. And so it's Ian Punnett on Coast to Coast AM, and I'm just giving a shout out to all of the people listening in Vancouver. I had a half a mind to go over to the Canadian affiliate of Coast to Coast, but I was too busy on the set of the sort of prequel to Planet of the Apes that's being shot in Vancouver. It won't be anything like any of the other Planet of the Apes movies. For some people, that's good. For other people, that's bad. I can just tell you, if they don't screw up this movie, it'll be terrific. It's a really interesting idea. I'll tell you more about it. Also, a little bit behind the scenes on the science of it coming up in just a moment. Then we'll go right to open lines this hour before we find out what happens to you. What happens to your brain? What happens to your body if you don't have power? This new Wall Street sequel opened up this weekend. And, anytime you're talking Gordon Gekko, you're talking power. We look in the news for a million examples of people who have power and abused it. But what do they know that you don't know in terms of life expectancy, life levels of happiness? The powerful. Which doesn't have to mean just the people at the top of a corporation, but the powerful know something that the rest of us don't. And yet, there are some of us who can be powerful, and others that no matter almost how hard we try, we could never achieve true power. It's the deck is stacked against us, and it's not because of the fluke of our birth. It's not because the way that we have humbly lived our lives. There are some people who can have power and some people who can't. And we'll explain who's geared for that coming up next hour with our guest on Coast to Coast. But first, open lines and a little bit more about this Planet of the Apes movie and a little crypto news next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. Well, I never had a chance to get together with any of our Coast to Coasties in Vancouver, but I did meet several of the crew for this little adventure onto the set of Caesar: Rise of the Apes. Let me just say hi to Brian, to all the people that helped put that together, including Greg, and thank you, Warren, to Julie, who was very sweet, and Ron, who is very wet, as I dumped so much water out of a little glass. I don't even know how all this ice water ended up on him and his iPhone, because the glass was like 3 inches tall. But it was like, it's been very deceiving. Anyway, to everybody else that was there, it was a really cool trip. Before I tell you more about the movie Caesar: Rise of the Apes, as much as I can tell you, anyway. I want to tell you about a story that's in the news. It's on the website, coasttocoastam.com. In fact, there's cool stories there all over the site. I asked personally if Sean would put up the link to that very funny video with Leonard Nimoy and William Shatner talking about how Shatner stole Nimoy's bike when they were shooting Star Trek together. And it's a great little piece of chemistry between those two very famous actors and to another degree directors. But they're really fun together, and it's nice to see them in a really good mood around each other. So go take a look online at coasttocoastam.com. Click onto that when you get a chance. You'll really enjoy it. But while you're there, you also look at the story about how this fountain of youth pill is just 2 years away from store shelves. It's a story about a Russian professor at Moscow State University. Weren't they playing University of Oregon today? I think so. Weren't they Moscow State? I think so. Anyway, this drug works by halting the damaging effects that oxygen can have on the body's cells. That makes me suspicious because I always thought it was oxygen in larger doses, which helped keep cells vibrant. But anyway, this pill apparently will add decades of life onto our lives if we're ready for it, if we're prepared for it. It'll be ready in 2 years. Now, interesting story. Can't vouch for it beyond the fact that it's in a, you know, a reputable newspaper-linked website. But it does move back to Caesar, Rise of the Apes, because it is a pill that's not unlike that, which is at the center of this new movie, which just wrapped on principal production. John Lithgow is in it. James Franco is in it. And it's a clever script. From all that we were exposed to, it looks like it's a very well done, heavily invested movie. So lots of good money going in to make this movie entertaining and interesting to look at. And it is about what happens when we experiment, when we cut corners on experimentation in the lab, and what happens in particular when we involve other species. So it's a prequel to Planet of the Apes, but it doesn't follow directly in line necessarily with the 1968 movie. But if they do this right, if they execute it as well as I think they will, and I have a lot of faith in Rupert Wyatt, the director, that he's going to do this, it's going to be a thought-provoking cautionary tale. It's going to be a morality play about what we're doing in our labs today and the ramifications it might have for all of us. I mean, is it possible that this pill that I just mentioned in this real life news story, which could be on store shelves within 2 years to extend our lives, is it possible that that pill could alter the future of all humankind? Is it possible that when that pill gets in the environment, like so many other pills are getting in the food supply, in the, you know, in all the various sort of underground water tables, when that pill becomes available to all the different species, could we be looking at a rise of the apes? Is it inconceivable to think that all of the pharmaceuticals we're pumping into the planet could end up triggering an unforeseen chain of events? If I were you, I would just circle June 24th next summer for the release of this new movie, Rise of the Apes. And as soon as they let me tell you more about it, I will. And I'll share some of the tapes I had a chance to make with the actor that many of you know for being the man behind Gollum in Lord of the Rings, Andy Serkis. And of course, he was King Kong as well for Peter Jackson in that movie production. And he's behind this, too. And that's a whole other aspect of this film, which I look forward to telling you more about. The new science that's gone into CGI. It's not computer generated imaging in the purest sense. It's actually motion capture or performance capture of actors in real time while they are in these suits. I can't tell you anything more than that till I know I can. But it's going to be groundbreaking, and I think you'll enjoy it. Now, also coming up a little bit later on, I think you're going to enjoy this discussion about power, which also kind of comes out of this same thing. Who's in charge of making the decisions for us, and why isn't it you? Could you ever be powerful? Do you know how to be powerful? Do you know what happens if you don't have power? You might be a victim right now when you don't have to be. And we'll tell you about that coming up next hour on Coast to Coast. First, let's do some open lines this hour just for snicks. We'll give you the numbers at the bottom of the hour, but we've got a couple of people already lined up, like Robert in Victorville on Coast to Coast. Robert?
Yeah, hi. How you doing, Ethan?
Ian, but good enough. You're starting off open lines. Go ahead.
Yeah, we just saw a vehicle. I live in Southern California, and I've seen rockets take off from Vandenberg before. And
yep.
Me and my son saw a ship tonight. Something took off, and it was from that trajectory. And it looked like it had two stages. And I was just wondering if you knew any information on any kind of launches or anything going on from Vandenberg?
No, I don't. But that's a good thing about being the first one up here on open lines, because somebody can follow up on that might and be able to tell us all more about it before we get to the top of the hour. That's a drag when someone calls in at the very end and throws something like out that. But good. Thanks for jumping on it early, and we'll see whether or not we can have an answer for you. First-time caller line, Taryn is in Northridge, California, on Coast to Coast. Taryn?
Hey, what's up? I'm calling about the exact same thing, actually.
Tell me about that. What do you mean?
I saw whatever this guy saw. I'm in Southern California, and it was started out as a perfect diagonal line in the sky, pretty long. We thought it was a meteor or a comet. But it was moving way too slow for that, and the line shortened. It became horizontal, and it flickered out. It looked like it left behind maybe some sort of white puff, and flickered out, flickered back on, kept going. It changed direction, started going south over the San Fernando Valley towards West LA, and it was really something. I've seen lots of rocket launches from the bases around here, but I've never seen anything quite like that.
You know, here's what I'm doing, just because this is a theme already. So I'm at space.com, and I have the launch schedule for, let's see, which is the complete launch schedule for forecast rockets for 2010. And it doesn't, what's our date today is the 25th?
25th.
So, I'm looking right now, and I'm not seeing anything on the calendar that's supposed to be launching from Vandenberg.
Well,
nothing.
Look, I'm a skeptic, but this is the closest thing to a UFO that I've ever seen.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong.
Exciting.
I'm just saying there's nothing I can find on the schedule.
Sure.
It doesn't mean that they haven't updated the schedule. So your guess is it's a kind of rocket. Earthbound rocket as opposed to something coming down from up above.
I really couldn't say. It looked like it was lower altitude than what you usually see for the test rockets that they shoot off. But it was moving horizontal. It was definitely going straight. My first thought was it was a plane on fire, but it wouldn't have left that perfect, you know, laser-like trail.
Here's what's on the space.com launch list. But it seems like this would have happened a while ago. On September 7th, they said, a United Launch Alliance Atlas V rocket to launch a classified reconnaissance satellite for the National Reconnaissance Office from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. That's all that's on the agenda here for Vandenberg for the month of September. So if it got delayed, if it didn't launch up until September 7th, maybe weather, fires, whatever, I don't know, but that's the only one that's listed. So your guess is as good as mine right now. And thank you, Taryn, for jumping in. Maybe somebody else knows, in which case we'll give you the numbers again in just a minute, and we look forward to hearing from you. On the whole other side of the country, I'm guessing Mike in Boston has not seen that same rocket launch. Good evening, Mike.
No, I have not, Ian. I actually thought it was very coincidental that your guest tonight is going to talk about power, because the topic that I wanted to bring up was one that's probably close to everybody out there, and that's the symbolism in the pop culture music industry today.
Okay, tell me what you mean by that.
All right, so a lot of people are familiar with, you know, the popular acts today, the Lady Gagas, the Beyoncés, the Jay-Zs, and a lot of people are familiar with their music, but if you ever really listen to the lyrics and look at the videos that they're putting out nowadays, there's a lot of symbolism that goes along with the Illuminati movement and things like that. So, like, for instance, in a couple of Jay-Z's videos, he's made references to being a Mason. He's also made reference to being possessed by, you know, the devil, or selling his soul to the devil, you know, along those lines. And it doesn't just stop with Jay-Z and hip-hop. It goes on. Like, if you look at Lady Gaga's videos, look at the symbolism in her videos. There isn't one of her videos out right now that she's not putting up the satanic sixes, which is the OK symbol, over her eye or covering up one of her eyes in her video.
You have to back up for a second. What, the OK symbol is a satanic symbol?
Yes, if you actually put out your fingers in the OK symbol, you notice that you have a loop and then three kind of stems. That actually is, you know, a symbol for three sixes.
Where have you ever heard that? Where do you get that? I have to say, I mean, here I am, spent all these years studying, looking into these things, never heard that. So
really?
Who says that that's the OK symbol is the sign of the devil?
No, yes. It's just, if you make the OK symbol, it makes three sixes. Which is
it makes three fingers and a zero, right? But you're saying that to some people that's three sixes.
Right.
But where do you get that? From Satanists? Do they tell you that?
No. It's not just that symbol. You know what I mean? It's just like the tip of the iceberg in a way. And it doesn't just stop with musicians. It goes along with entertainers as well and athletes. If you ever watched LeBron James before a basketball game, he does a certain ritual with his hands. And those same symbols are also found throughout pop culture as far as...
Okay, what is LeBron James doing? Tell me.
Okay, all right. This is all documented on YouTube, so people, if you really want
to... Okay, wait, that's not documentation to me at all. That's just anybody can upload anything to YouTube. So you're going to have to give me better than that.
Correct.
Okay.
You're absolutely correct.
Right.
And
okay.
I don't mean that YouTube is, you know, the end-all, be-all.
It has nothing to do with anything. It's what it has to do with, nothing.
It does ring up...
All right, but what does LeBron James do that's satanic symbols?
Okay, first he puts up a symbol, a pinky, into the air. He puts a pinky straight up into the air, okay? Then straight front, this is all right after the national anthem. Put the pinky up in the air. You know, it's just, it looks like casual, you know, athlete, you know, pointing up to the sky. But if you pay attention to what he's actually doing, first he puts the pinky in the air. Then he comes straight from the pinky into a diamond shape, which isn't necessarily a diamond shape. It's the same symbol that Jay-Z puts up in all his videos. It's the same symbol that, you know, all these famous people are putting up. So it goes straight into a diamond, which is also a symbol of, you know, a symbolism for the Illuminati. From the diamond directly into two hands in the OK symbol, symbolizing the 666. Because the thing is, when these people get to a certain level, they have to take a certain oath. They have
who
to,
does?
You know,
who does?
What do you mean?
Who makes them take an oath? Who makes them take an oath?
Come on, Ian. We both aren't stupid. You know what I mean?
I'm asking you. Who makes them take an oath?
The music industry as a whole, like the people at the top of the music industry, unless you are willing to push their rhetoric, you're not allowed. You won't blow up. You know what I mean? People have been working hard, working so hard to write great music out there, and the people who get famous are these people. Right? They all talk about the same thing in their music.
So
for that.
Okay, but the proof of the fact that they have joined the Illuminati is the fact that they're successful.
No, not just that. I don't want to make it seem like every person that's successful is a part of the Illuminati. What I'm trying to show you is the things that bind all these different people together. The same symbols in all the videos, the Baphomet heads in all the videos, the pyramids, the one eyes, these are all in all of their videos. And
wait, the pyramid and the one eye, that's also Masonic, and on the back of our dollar bill.
Exactly, and if you also look in all these music videos over time, there's also black and white checkered patterns, which is also Masonic.
Okay.
See what I'm saying? It's not just... You know,
let me ask you, it'd be easier. What isn't a symbol for Illuminati?
Good question, Ian. But I think that the answer to that would be if the music they were putting out was more, more building instead of destructive.
Well, like what?
You know what I mean?
I mean, I listen to Lady Gaga. What is it? What's particularly Illuminati about Lady Gaga?
It's easy to listen to Lady Gaga and think that, you know, the songs are, you know, here or there. But if you watch the video, the official video that she puts out, just watch it. It's a symbol of her basically selling her soul to become the way she wants to, and that she planned this stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll agree on that. I believe Lady Gaga sold her soul. I mean, but we probably won't agree on necessarily to whom. I mean, I think Lady Gaga will do anything for attention, ergo the meat dress or... any of that other stuff. I think she'll do anything to get a headline. But that's not the same to me as saying that she's satanic because she gives the okay symbol. But I'm going to look into that okay symbol. I'm going to look at that just a second because I don't want to be going. I say okay all the time. And they say, like, okay for a launch for a rocket. And people ought to know if that's a, if that's the symbol of Satan, okay. We got to know that coming up. We'll find out in just a minute. Also, more on whatever it is that's going on over Southern California. And we'll get to a couple people who think that they do know what it was that was seen over Southern California next on Coast to Coast. Open lines next. This is Ian Punnett. I did find a website that showed various satanic hand symbols consistent with the last caller's breathless report. And indeed, on this website, they said the OK sign, the traditional OK sign, is a symbol, a satanic symbol. So is the hook'em horns, Texas Longhorns hand gesture, and that the proof of the Bush family was satanic was their use of the hook'em horns hand symbol. And they also, the thumbs up is a gesture. This could be a satanic gesture. And a couple others. Two fingers spread wide that look like a peace sign, but Lady Gaga puts them under her eyes. And they said that's like the all-seeing eye in the pyramid, which ties her to the Illuminati, which makes that then. So basically, it comes right down to if you're going to make a hand gesture, use only one finger. But be very careful which finger that is. Now, as for the rocket, which was a subject that, if you'll pardon the pun, launched in our first couple of calls here on Coast to Coast and Open Lines, I have this much to report to you. A Minotaur 4 rocket was scheduled to launch at 9:41 Pacific Daylight Time tonight. So that would make sense. The Minotaur 4 launched a first-of-its-kind satellite that can detect and track orbiting space objects, including potential threats to our space assets and orbital debris. Quote, this groundbreaking satellite is the first to track objects in space from space. That, according to Lieutenant Colonel Tim Harris, who's with the first Air and Space Test Squadron. He's the commander. Quote, the launch of the SBSS satellite continues a tradition of successful teaming between the 30th Space Wing and its launch customers. Existing tracking systems on the ground suffer distortion as they scan through the atmosphere. This particular Minotaur 4 rocket won't suffer the same disadvantage. This launch vehicle will provide the ability to, but you get the idea. So this one appears to have been noted, at least in some news sites, and that could very easily explain what some people are seeing coming from Vandenberg tonight. But does that define the situation completely? Don't know. We'll get back to open lines, and then where do you want to take us coming up next on Coast to Coast? This is Ian Punnett. Well, let's see. Where do we pick it up with open lines? Dorothy on Coast to Coast on Wild Card 1. Hey, Dorothy.
Hi, good evening or good morning, Ian.
Depending on where you are. Now, you're in California. Did you see the rocket or
right
whatever?
Right off my deck.
Okay. And what would you say it was, a Vandenberg rocket that you saw along with some of the previous callers for open lines?
It was definitely Vandenberg. In fact, we have a friend that works over there, and he let us know also that it was going to be shot off tonight. The local news station said exactly what you said earlier.
Okay.
So that's what it was. They're monitoring space debris. In fact, we had the pleasure of seeing two of them this week. There was one that
was
on Wednesday.
Cool.
And that one went off to the Marshall Islands. But on the same vein, for anybody that does want to watch any of these or to see what's going on at the pad prior to, you can go to spaceflightnow.com, and you can watch the countdown. You can watch to see if there's any delays. It gives you the information on all of them.
Sure.
It's really cool. Our deck is adjacent to Vandenberg. We're in the Pismo Beach area.
Oh, that'd be cool.
We see all of them. Provided it's not foggy, which a lot of times it is.
Right, 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 right.
A beautiful night.
No, that's very interesting. So So we know this one was being sent up to track space debris. Do we know what the mission was of the other one? You said it was to go to the where islands?
Out to the Marshall Islands. Apparently they test them now and then, and they go out to, and they just
so they launched it from there. They launched it from Vandenberg to the Marshall Islands.
Correct.
You know, it sounds suspiciously like some vacay. You know, that these guys just get a rocket and say, hey, let's just go to Marshall Islands. For, I mean, I'm not convinced there's a real need for that.
I can get a ticket to that.
Yeah, it just sounds, maybe we should look into that one. Thank you, Dorothy. Appreciate that. Bob, west of the Rockies, he's trucking somewhere near Sacramento on coast to coast. Bob?
Yes, how you doing, Ian? Thank you for
Good.
Taking my call.
It's open lines. Where do you want
I
to take this?
I have a question. And in fact, your screener there asked me if I would pull over when I talked to you, and I'm pulling over right now.
Good.
But anyway, the question I have, and actually is see if you can help me out or whatever, give me advice, whatever. Anyway, this is many years ago, probably back in the early 70s, I had a near-death experience. I had a rheumatic fever and running a real high temperature, and I was laying down. All of a sudden, I found myself looking down at myself, and I was trying to pull myself back. I remember this vividly, back down, and eventually, I don't know if I went back to sleep or whatever, but for like 2 or 3 days, my arms ached after that from trying pull myself back down from floating away, I guess. But anyway, and I've seen a couple of two UFOs, and I talked to you about them, one of them, the Phoenix one. And but I guess my question is this. I have a lot of times this happens through the years. I will think about somebody that I haven't thought about in years. Their name will just pop in my head. And I'll either get a call from that person, like the next day or that day, or somebody will call me and tell me about something that happened to this person. Well,
right.
A couple of weeks ago, you had the repeat about the Sonny Bono story.
Sure.
And the night before that, I had actually, for some reason, Sonny Bono's name came to my mind. I haven't thought about Sonny Bono in I don't know how many years. And I don't really remember why it came to my mind. There was something that I was thinking about. And the next night, that was on.
What if your mind, what if your unconscious mind actually runs coast to coast?
Well, I don't know what's going on because it's like, I mean, a simple thing like I'll have a song come to my head and I'll sing it and I'll turn the radio on and that song's on, you know?
Well, do you believe in synchronicity?
I don't even know what it is.
Well, then here, I'll introduce it to you. Other than a good police album, synchronicity is when you experience two or more events which seem as though they cannot have the same origin. They appear to be unrelated, causally unrelated, but they come together in a way which it provides meaning. So that you, when you experience that, it seems meaningful. It may, in fact, be meaningful. I mean, the people who, you know, are believers in synchronicity, this was actually a Carl Jung, and we were doing a show. Here's a little synchronicity for you. We were doing a show about the mystical side of Carl Jung, the famous psychologist, and he was a big believer in synchronicity. He kind of, I don't know if he's the one that gets credit for inventing the term, but certainly the concept. So here's what you got to do. When those things happen, jot them all down. Keep a synchronicity journal, but also write down the times when you think of somebody and they don't call and nothing comes up. And then look at your batting average.
Okay. Now, is there something, I guess, positive or that useful that someone that happens to can use that for anything? Or just, I don't know if that makes any sense to you. But.
Well, if you look at it in terms of, if there is a causal relationship between your thoughts and then things that happen, two things could be, if it's true, then I think you would want to be mindful that you do not entertain thoughts, which if they materialize, would be detrimental to you or people that you love, right?
Okay.
So Yeah, I mean, I think that's like, if there is, if you're seeing that, if you think about something and then you turn on the radio and there it is, you don't want to be thinking about a disaster that would happen and then suddenly that disaster happened. So right. I think that would be one thing to try to keep track of your batting average to see whether or not there's something special about what you do or what experiences you have. In which case, then I think you need, once you keep that journal, you'll have a better idea on whether something really is happening or not. And I'd be curious about that later on. Ryan is in the middle of nowhere, which inevitably brings somebody to Indiana. Ryan?
Yes, how you doing?
Good. Am I guessing, are you in Indiana?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Glad to have you. Wild card three, where are you going to take us?
Well, I barely get the show. I have to, the reception here is horrible. So I don't really know exactly what you guys talk about every night. But I'm very interested in the pyramids. And
what about them?
I guess my question, well, I just don't think, I'm kind of unsure of the exact age and how people say they know of an exact date.
Well, which pyramids are we talking about? The pyramids of Giza?
The Giza, the okay. Great Pyramids.
Right.
Because, you know, carbon date artifacts that they find, they say Khufu or whatever, but you can't carbon date the stone because there's no carbon in the stone. And so I was just wondering, like how do people, and what is the general consensus anymore of the exact age of the pyramids? And wouldn't it seem like feasible if there were, I mean, humankind's what, we've been around, what, 2 million years? If they were built, like, say, 30,000 years ago, and that civilization was destroyed or wiped out or whatever happened, and then we kind of, you know, how, like, we went back to the Middle Ages after the plague, say, like, some traveling, like, nomadic people came across them, wouldn't they settle down and start worshiping those because they wouldn't understand it?
Well, and, let's back up a little bit. I mean, we have we have times before the Common Era where the pyramids are part of the historical record. You with me so far? Like the Greeks,
yes.
Greek historians. So we're looking, you know, sometime before, 1,000 years before, you know, the year zero, as it were. Okay, so we know what they go back that far. Your question is, could they be 30,000 years old and having been, you know, discovered by a strong, you know, wind or whatever, and blows away the sand, and the ancient Egyptians look up and go, ta-da, these are ours.
Yeah.
But they're actually somebody else's.
Wouldn't, if, you know, like, wouldn't they, I mean, it would just be human kind of nature to say, oh, they were built by gods, they were built by giants, you know, and they would want to restore them. Then they would build the other pyramids.
We have a historical record of them building some of them. That we know from scrolls and from the writings. They take credit, right?
They've never found any kind of tombs in the three pyramids that, from what I understand, at Giza. This doesn't seem logical that some people would build those huge monuments. I don't know how they did it anyway, for just a tomb. The older or the newer ones, the ones that I guess people know more about, are kind of like replicas of them, and they are built as tombs, which would make sense. But it just seems to me that, and I just finally ran across some of Christopher Dunn stuff recently. Mm-hmm. But it just seems like, I mean, the Nile River has migrated miles since, right, you know, it was built. I mean, so you have, and I was thinking the other day.
I'm going to have to get some other people in. But, okay, I'll just say, let's, you know, I think that's, I don't know about the carbon dating. That's a really good question in that sense. And if we're talking about the oldest of the pyramids, that's an interesting question. I don't know how they determine the exact year or even the approximate year that they were made. That having been said, never underestimate the vanity of a ruler who thinks they're God. And so when you say it doesn't make sense that somebody would make a monument unto themselves that large, We'll part company there. I mean, especially reading this book, Power, by the way, which brings us back to our guest coming up next hour. That kind of narcissism, that belief that I need to have, you know, a giant tomb to mark my death, that part actually I think is fairly consistent with the vanity of the ruling class. Now, an interesting parallel piece to that would be to compare the pyramids of other cultures in other parts of the world, and why were they building those versus why did the pyramids of Giza get built? And that may have to wait for another guest, but thanks for some provocative questions. And Jordan, who's in Cincinnati, where the Bearcats played pretty well today. Jordan?
Yeah, just lost. Too bad.
I know, but they played pretty well. They were in it. I got to try. Yeah, got to give them that.
Absolutely. So how are you doing tonight, Ian?
I'm doing all right. Open lines. Where are you going to take us?
Well, I'm here to tell you a story about something that I saw a couple of years back. I was riding in a car with my girlfriend. She was driving, and my buddy Brad was in the back seat. And we're moving along this dark country road here, and it's not very well lit. It's just a two-lane road. And I can see in the distance that there's something in the road. And my immediate thought was, you know, that looks like some sort of heavy appliance, like a refrigerator or, you know, washing machine, something big that shouldn't be in the road. So we start slowing down. And as we approach, wings open up to the span of the whole road. That's how big this wingspan is. And it just starts slowly flapping and rising. My ex-girlfriend screams. We were all screaming. We were terrified and have no idea. Haven't heard any reports. Have no idea what it was.
Okay, question. Leathery wings or feathery wings?
Oh, it was dark, but I would say feathery more than anything.
Okay.
But the one thing that struck me as odd, okay, and when I saw it, I don't know if you're familiar with the movie Jeepers Creepers by any chance. But
it seems to me I have seen that movie.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't have like a very strong memory that I watched all of it. I think I may have checked out halfway in that movie, but
you know, it's no Citizen Kane, but
no. Okay. But so,
yeah, because it seemed to have some like a thinner, broader kind of human like body, which is what was so compelling. And we certainly don't have any birds that big. We have buzzards and things of that sort, but
well, there's two different things. First, there's a cryptozoological pursuit of these megabirds. So whether
like
they're
thunderbirds, something like
thunderbirds,
that.
But whether they're thunderbirds or whether they're giant owls, you know, there are people who say that they're there. There may not be a lot of them, but that they're there. And then the other question comes up about whether it might be Mothman.
That was something I was curious about too. We're not too far away, maybe 3 hours away from Huntington.
Well, it doesn't matter where you are in a way. I don't think, you know, like Mothman never leaves like West Virginia or something. I think. But if you go to, I tell you what, just to check yourself, take a look, go to Google Images and search for Mothman and see some of the other pictures that people have posted supposedly of sightings of Mothman and see whether those look familiar. First time caller line, Rick is in Wichita on Coast to Coast. Rick?
Yes.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi, just real quick. I've been listening for 10 years and finally got through. One of the things that struck me the most throughout our shows was the Darwin theory versus Christianity. And I think that both of them, I don't think there's any problem at all. And here's why. Genesis 1:28, God told Adam to replenish the earth. And probably for millions of years, the earth was here, and then at some point God froze it over, and then about 10 or 12,000 years ago, he put Adam here. So the dinosaurs, all of that existed. I don't know if there was a man that lived in a cave, but there was an ape-like man probably.
You might get an argument from Christine O'Donnell, but you won't get one from me. I'll tell you, I happen to think that it's very possible to believe in both. There's a myth somehow that Darwin was agnostic or that he was anti-Christianity and that's what his theories were intended to do. The truth is, doesn't bear that out, actually. I think he's a much more interesting guy than that. He certainly ran into a lot of pushback from the church, but That wasn't his intention. So yeah, I mean, I'm on board. I think life is more interesting when your theory is correct, and it puts more emphasis on us to be good, in my opinion. But maybe being good means being powerful. Maybe you are hurting things. You're hurting people. You're hurting your family. You're hurting yourself by not being powerful. We'll talk about what it means to have power and who can't have it next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett.